Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Why are you trying to act like you did the? Did you do that?
Like I played the piano?
If you made it, like, that's hot, just to let you know.
This is Rod Simba. He's a loyal listener, and he's the music producer, and he said, I want to make you a beat, and he made me a beat. That's how we work here.
This is
a 33%.
Smooth.
So what I was actually talking to Gabe, who's a production guy here, and it's funny because every person that comes on that hears the music is like wants to freestyle. Like, it just happens. Like, Martellus Bennett on Monday, he couldn't help himself. He just went.
Yeah.
In fact, at the end of the episode, another one of the 33% of the listeners literally freestyled over the beat, and they sent it in, and I'm going to play that at the end. It's all really, right. Really good. The voice you're hearing right now is a man of much acclaim. New York Jets got the steal of the offseason, a two-time Pro Bowler, an All-Pro, a Super Bowl champion, and he's sipping coffee, Kelechi Osemele. How you doing, bro?
I'm good, man. Thanks
good
for
to
having
have
me
you here,
on,
man.
Thanks for having me on.
Welcome to New York.
Appreciate it.
You knew my name when you walked in, which felt pretty fucking good. I'm not going to lie.
You're kind of popular, if you haven't noticed.
Really?
So, yeah.
You've seen my shit.
Yeah, man.
I've seen your shit.
Everybody's seen your shit.
Hey! what I really want to say, though, is Igbo Kwenu.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know a little Igbo. Okay.
I just know that Naija... Listen.
Now, look at this one now. So he wants to. So he wants to earn my favor early on his show.
Dude, that's phenomenal. So you are Igbo. For people that don't understand, Igbo is a tribe in Nigeria.
Yeah.
My fiance is Ibibio.
Oh, tight.
Yes.
That's like one of the smaller tribes.
Super small.
Yeah.
But I can't believe that your mom let you not be a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer.
Yo,
congratulations.
You have no idea how difficult that was to, like, finesse that. I was like, yo, like, I promise I'm going to get a scholarship. She was like, you have the arrogance to think that with the statistics and the odds that you can be a D1 athlete. And she would, like, go online and, like, print it out.
She would show you this. People, so... Like, a lot of people, I think have said this about Asian parents, Jewish parents. I'm learning that Nigerian parents are the most intense of them.
Same wave.
So
I am an extreme underachiever in my community.
You're the youngest, too, right, of three girls?
Yeah.
So, like, all the pressure is on the baby.
Yeah.
We needed A's on every test?
Well, so I kind of slid a little bit because, like, I had an older sister that was kind of, like, a little wild. So, like,
as long as
I balled and got, like, B's, A's and B's, I was straight. Like, I didn't get my act right really until junior or senior year. I think I, like, slid out with, like, a 3.6 or something.
That's
I did
still
decent.
Impressive.
But
yeah, I mean, you were, like, three-time honor
roll. It took me a while, though. Yeah, it took me a while. Like, my first couple years, I'm not going to lie, like, freshman year, I think sophomore year, I might have, like, had, like, a C or something like that.
Wow.
And, yeah, it went down.
What's funny is a lot of the listeners right now are like, you're a football player. You're allowed to get C's. Not if you're Nigerian.
Nah, bro.
You said that you're lesser. Like, do you still get told, like, your friend just became a doctor? Like,
Oh, yeah. Well, mainly now it's, like, marriage. Like, why are you not married? Mm. Like, everybody's getting married. Why are you not married? Why are you not a pastor? Why are you not a doctor? Like, why aren't you doing these things?
Yes.
It's like, dang, I guess I'm just a bad kid. I don't know.
But meanwhile, like, NFL player, like, signed the biggest contract ever when it happened. Like, but no, we'll look at that stuff. But I'm realizing, like, you're from Houston. There's a huge Nigerian contingent in Houston. I didn't even realize that. But there's been some great Igbos. Nnamdi Asamoah's Igbo, Osei Omenyiora, Prince Amukamara. Like, And now I'm also realizing you're practically like the New York Niger right now. Like,
yeah, we got a few guys.
You, Quincy Enunwa, and you just drafted in the third round Chuma Edoga. Like, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Have you noticed, though, like, recently? It's a wave, man.
It's a super wave.
I feel like people are like, they're like, scouts are like realizing it. Like, yo, they're kind of athletic. Like.
Yes. Well, I mean, and look, it's all sports. Like, Emeka Okafor, plus you get to rock the green and white. Like,
yeah, that's dope.
Explain that to people out there, why that's so awesome.
So that's like our Nigerian like flag. That's like our colors. So, I mean, I don't know, it was like 94, I think we were like in the World Cup or something like that. I was like,
you just got
kid.
In it last year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, we actually did well when I was like a kid. Like,
gotcha.
I remember that being one of my earliest memories of African Christian Fellowship. Like, it's like the church you go to after you go to the first church.
Right.
And you're there until like 4 p.m.
Wow.
But yeah, like, you see those colors everywhere. Churches. There's a lot of like pride and stuff. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, those colors. And obviously, the Jets were my first team when I was like in third grade. So,
really?
Yeah.
You grew
first
up in
time
Houston,
I ever put on a football
Jets?
Jersey. Yeah.
Do you think it was because
we were the Cy Fair Jets? I don't know why, but we were.
Wow.
That was my first team. We balled too, man.
I was on the Royals, and like, I just loved the Royals for a little bit because that was my little league baseball team, was the Royals. So you were actually on the Jets as a kid?
I used to trace like Jets players like at the library.
Like,
yeah.
Who? Trace.
I should know his
library?
Name. I should know his name, but he's number 8. He's like that short, really
good.
Yeah, him. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I used to trace him because he was on the cover of some book when I was in elementary school, like around fourth grade. You know, you have like the little book fair or whatever.
Yes, Scholastic.
Yeah,
book fair.
He was on the book fair, and I was like, oh, like snap, Jets. I mean, I'm playing for the Jets. I used to like, because I was a terrible artist. I used to have to put the paper down
and then just
over it and
top.
Just trace it, and I look at my work like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's gonna be me,
dude. Scholastic book fair was the single greatest thing ever. And I look back, I used to buy the dumbest computer games, like Castle Takeover, and I'd come home and be like, the book fair is the shit. Like, I thought it
you're
was
the
cool.
One guy that went to the book fair and didn't get a book, weren't you? Like,
I got some books. No, but I was trying to get the computer games. Like, I was trying to play some shit, and I loved books because of Pizza Hut, because of Book It. Where you'd read a certain amount of books and you got a free personal pan pizza?
We did Rabdargab. Read a book. Do a report. Get a buck. It's Rabdargab. Like, it was like
a
big movement. Hell yeah. I was racking up.
Dude, I was at Pizza Hut. I used to go to the library and just fill the page with books that I've never read just to get personal pan pizzas. Yeah, I was a piece of shit.
They would check you, though. Like, at our school, they'd make you do a report.
Yeah, they'd be like,
stuff.
Lefko, you read War and Peace. You're in third grade. Like, listen, man, that's what we're doing.
I had an auntie that literally would, like, you couldn't even play outside until you, like, read a book. Like,
really?
You'd go sleep over, and I didn't have any brothers, so I'd hang out with my cousins, and I'd be like, please, can I sleep over? Only to remember on Saturday, you must read a book, or read a book and do a report when you got home.
You literally
would have to do wall sits if you, like, tried to fake it, like, forever. You'd be sitting there. Like,
and that's why, when you said earlier, they're just realizing that Nigeria has incredible athletes. This last year, I've obviously been more attuned to it because of my relationship. The Nigerian bobsled team, the jerseys for the Nigerian football team, the soccer team, were incredible. Like, that took over everywhere. I see all these major athletes. It does feel like a movement. To be a part of that movement, what kind of pride does that give you?
It's pretty cool, man. It's pretty cool. Because it's like, it's weird. Because it's like, I feel like when I was growing up, I didn't really see a lot of other Nigerian, like, players. Like, the neighborhood I grew up in was kind of stale. Like, there wasn't a lot of, like, Nigerians. There was just like black kids and then just me, you know,
right.
What I mean?
And the cultures are very different.
Very, very different. People don't understand that.
No.
It's night and day different. So I wasn't even like, I couldn't even really move. Like, I didn't really fit in,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's
That's
dope to like see
thing.
That, yeah.
Because there's, and plus you're in Houston, and which is like a melting pot of like a million different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're being put in with African American, and you're like, no, Nigerian is its own. It's so unique. And
you
special.
Only saw your people when you went to church on the Southwest side. That's like the only time you saw your people. Other than that, if you were on the Northwest, you were just ass. Just were by yourself, pretty much.
I'm so excited to have money poured on me at my wedding, though.
You doing what? Say that again?
Getting money poured on me at my wedding.
Ah, you know about that?
Dude, I'm going to dance so much. Just be like,
I have to see videos of that.
Oh, when I get the official, and I think we're going to
Are you going to wear a rapa, like traditional?
Yes. And we're going to do green and white, too, because I'm an Eagles fan. That's, so this works out perfect. Like, I'm the other team that has those colors, degree, too. Yeah. So I'm just going to tell my dad, no, it's Eagles colors. And I'll be like, great. Sounds good. best jollof rice in the world?
My mom's, obviously. Yeah. My mom makes the best jollof. Actually, my boy, Jeremy Zutal, he was my center in Baltimore. Yes. His mom, I just went over to like
he's
his
Nigerian
house.
He's Nigerian too?
Mom, no. He's okay. He's Ghanaian. And so we have this
and
thing.
There's it's, the battle.
We had the jollof rice wars. Yes. Like my mom and his mom, like who makes the best jollof. And I was just over like, you know, at his mom's house or whatever. And it was good. But I mean, you know what I'm saying? And then another one of my teammates.
People don't realize. So jollof, would you say jollof is the most popular food in Nigeria?
I would probably say pounded yam, like fufu. Egusi soup,
but I was just
going
to ask you about fufu.
Like,
but explain to people why jollof rice is such a big deal to the Nigerian culture.
I think because rice, like the grain itself, is just like, obviously it's like cheap and sustainable. Like you can just, you know, you can eat a lot of it.
It's delicious.
You know, and it's amazing. It's just good. Like,
so Nigerians and Ghanaians fight a lot about who has the best jollof, and they're made
so
different.
So from my personal experience, it seems very common to see that conversation happening between Ghanaians and Nigerians.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
I've had Ghanaians in this office come up to me and say, I'm going to make you jollof and prove to you that it's better than Nigerian.
Their rice is all short, though, and it's just not as good. Like, they don't put enough spice in it.
And I told my fiance, and she was like, don't even eat it. I was like, all right, I'm staying out of this. Sounds bad.
It's so weird how, like, it's similar, but it's so different.
Then fufu sounds interesting, pounded yam.
Yeah.
But it's like a – it's super thick, and it's like
the way
a
I describe
carb.
It to people that have never, like, seen it before, it's like – basically, very firm, moldable mashed potatoes. That's how I like to describe
firm,
it.
Firm, like
that
clay.
Never, yeah. Like Play-Doh, basically.
I want over. Do you eat it?
I love fufu. Hell yeah. What? I love fufu. That's my favorite dish. Like, my mom will freeze it and send it
to me.
I bet
if you're trying to lose weight, you can't eat fufu.
It's definitely not keto. That's for sure. Yeah. But my mom, like, there's, like, healthy ways to do it. Like, they do, like, there's like a flour, not flour. I don't know. Like, there's like, you know how you can
so
like
many.
Finesse it. Like
the
just
reason
different.
I won over her family because I ate fufu, because she had told me beforehand.
What kind of soup?
Say what was the first one you
what
said?
What kind of soup?
Well, no. What was the first soup you said earlier?
Ogbono or egusi?
It was like a vegetable, super cooked. I think there may have been some fish in it.
It sounds like it was probably okra. Okra soup? Well, no. They all have vegetables in it.
It was. I think it was one of the first ones you said.
Maybe a goosey. What color was it?
Brown.
Brown? Yeah, it had to be. It had to be a bono
soup. So she taught me that I had to rip it and then roll it.
Yep.
So I did. And as soon as I did that, they were like, uh-oh. They saw that I like knew what to do. And then I dipped it in and they're all like this. And I said, hey, can I have some of the fufu? And none of the kids really eat it a lot. And what? Her brother leaned in and goes, you don't have to do this.
It's so good.
I don't know. So I went in there and I took the first one. I was like, this is amazing. And I had like three or four, and her Uncle Samson walks up to me and shakes my hand and goes, you're part of the family now. And I was like, I just ate my way into this family. I did it. But I when I saw that you were Nigerian, that you're Igbo, I was like, I want to talk about this because I think it's such an interesting and cool culture, and I think it probably has to define so much of who you are.
Yeah,
and people don't even know that about you. I would think they know that you're Nigerian.
Yeah, they know
about
my name. Yeah, but yeah, that's true. I mean, I feel like if they want to know and they talk to you, they'll figure it out pretty quick. But.
Yeah, but what do you think about this? That's the media. I saw that you just went to China and Japan.
Yeah.
I mean, could you even walk down the street without getting photos taken of you?
So it's weird. Like, my boy Jeremy went a few years before I did, and he said they took a lot of pictures of him. But when I went, it was, like, cool. Like, it was, like, super – I don't know if they got used to it or what.
They must have.
Yeah, it was – that didn't happen at all.
What was your journey? What did you want to see? What did you do?
So I went to Art Basel in Hong Kong.
Wow.
Which was amazing. Saw some really good art. Partied a lot, obviously. Hong Kong, like, doesn't shut down.
What is a Hong Kong party like?
So Yeah, there's just like a, I forget the name of it, but there's like a big strip of bars where there's like literally like six level places.
Wow.
And it's just like there's rooftop spots that look over the entire city. There's people from all over the world.
Sure.
It's a like kind of a like, you know, bit major financial hub. So.
And they drink, right?
Yeah, they drink. They go out late. There's like after party spots that I went to. I mean, I literally keep notes on my phone, but I want to like slow down. But like, I literally write everything down.
Do you
like,
really
when I travel? Yeah, I keep a travel journal.
Nice.
Somebody told me to do that when I was in Italy. Like,
well, because you'll
ago,
forget so started, if you don't.
Exactly, especially when there's drinking involved. So
yeah.
Yeah,
so you're like drunk at a Hong Kong party, writing in the notes app.
Yeah. Yeah. Or the next day, I'll be like, yo, what was that spot we went to? And then I'll write it down then.
I do that sometimes, too. Like, if I kick it with some people that I'm like, I can't believe I'm kicking it with, as soon as I get home, if I'm a little bit drunk or whatever, I write down everything. Because the next day, I want to remember it. I don't want to be like, exactly. Oh, I had this one time with Kenyon Martin, and it was, I don't remember what
where
happened.
Did y'all even go?
Yeah. No,
I always remember what happened and what I did. I just don't remember the name of places.
So the
I know I went to a Michelin star restaurant in a subway station, and it was the best dumplings I ever had in my life. But I just don't remember.
Please tell me it was Hero.
Dim Tong Fu or something, I think it might have been called. And then I went to a spot called Holy Fook. That was really freaking bomb.
Fook.
I went to a lot of dope, like really good. Like, there's the food is just like crazy.
You're
like,
a big dumpling guy?
I'm a big dump. Well, jeez. I am now. It's funny because I wasn't before until. No, actually, that's where I'm going. Like tonight, I'm going to Julan.
Oh, really?
Juwan Club.
Okay.
It's
oh, and
somewhere
you're just
going to
go
here.
Dumplings.
Yeah, I'm getting dumplings.
That's where they just like go around with the carts and you're like, I'll take 17 of those.
It's a nicer place. It's like a little bit more upscale, kind of dimly lit.
Yeah.
But they bring out like. Those the little wooden things of dumplings, and they're just as good. They have like the soup ones when you bite into it that are like savory, and it's just like like it's.
So what's the difference between China and Japan? Because I would argue that probably a lot of my listeners haven't been to either.
I feel like Japan was more laid back. Like it felt like slower. People were like way nicer, but just like they were nice in both places. But you could definitely tell like you know bowing a lot and like. Just like greeting you and just smiling.
Sure.
That happened a lot. Instead of pictures, there's a lot of smiles. Like, oh, you're different. Like, just like super friendly, super curious.
Yeah.
You know, like an old lady on the like trying to get up the escalator, though, like pick her up and like, you know, like it was
well, their
it was
respect
really,
for the elderly.
It's so cool because like it's similar to Nigerian culture.
Very
so
much.
It's like so refreshing to see that. Like,
I didn't realize about age and rank until I went and celebrated Christmas with my fiance, and they were like. Like the young kids were like going around and doing everything. And I was like, I can't tell them what to do. And they were like, no, that's like part of the culture.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to do that.
That's so true.
Yeah.
You'll literally find yourself sprinting upstairs just to hand your mom or dad the remote.
Well, you were the freaking youngest one too.
Right. You're like, you literally would run up there and be like, but you can't say anything. You just like, it's right there.
That's why you take coaching so well.
That's true. That's true, actually.
You know?
Yeah.
Because you're like...
Because, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I've definitely had some things coached to me where it's like, that would never work in a game. And it has to be repeated over and over again to the point where it's like, you're literally teaching me bad habits. And then I'll say something.
Yes.
But, yeah.
No, but that's... You just put up with it because you're like, okay.
I put up with it a lot. It's almost bad because then it gets to a point where it's like, where did that explosion come from? And it's like, dude, you've been telling me to do the wrong thing for like...
Hey. I had Bart Scott in here, and he was talking about when Mike Singletary was coaching, and they had some guys on that Ravens defense that just don't hold their tongue. And they're like, nope, coach, you're wrong.
Yes,
to the point where
know.
Like he came back in, he was like freaking out because the Ravens are like, nah, bro, you got to deal with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I wouldn't do well with that, but definitely I let a lot of things slide, I would say. But then when it's to the point where it's to my detriment or like the other guy's detriment, especially if I'm looking around and I have guys complaining a lot to me in the locker room and stuff, then it's just like, hey, man.
We got to figure this out. It happens, though. I mean, look, not everyone's perfect. Like, I'm sure Belichick has come in on a Monday and been like, I fucked up. Sorry about that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It happens. But the bad habit stuff, Offensive line coaches in general, I think it's one of the most interesting positions in sports.
It's so weird. Like, they're so obsessed.
They're the weirdest coaches ever. Like, what has your experience been with offensive line coaches?
So they usually have really big egos.
Like, really?
They usually have really, really big egos. I don't know why that is.
Do they harp on the guys that they've built in the past?
Yeah, they do. And the weird thing is, like, for the most part, the guys they talk about, you know, like, right out of college, they're already really talented. So you're just like,
yeah, you're like, I coach Zach Martin. It's like, okay, yeah, he was going to do that himself no matter what. Yeah, yeah. Or like even you know what I mean? Like you go to Baltimore and like right away, it's like just because NFL.com said that you needed more coaching doesn't mean that that was the truth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You learn so much more just by watching other players though. And then you also have to learn how to adapt it to your game. I feel like where guys get too caught up is like, especially when they're on the fringe or they're free agents, they try to do every little detail and they overthink things. But it's like, you're an athlete. You can play football. You would not be here if you can't play football. And so just take a deep breath, relax, take the parts that actually work, use it. The stuff that doesn't work for you, throw it out and ball.
Right. Like, to me, it kind of feels like you're gaining the Infinity Stones. Like Avengers, to where it's like, okay, I'm really good against the bull rush. I figured that out. I got that down. Okay, now I'm going to work on the spin, on the out, like all like that stuff. Yeah. Or I'm going to work on my own punch. And you just kind of pick up stuff every year.
You steal like. What you can.
Yeah.
And you
so
throw
who have you stolen
that,
from?
So definitely, I'll actually say a coach that I've actually stolen from, Juan Castillo. There's some things that he taught me that actually
really?
Work. So he has, I'm not even going to like
Eagles.
Teach that.
Yeah,
because it's a secret. But there's some things
that he's
taught that they actually work. I just don't use it all the time. Like
wow.
But like yeah, there's definitely some things where he can take the thinking out of it if you set a certain way.
Wow.
And then like as far as like punching and stuff, that's pretty unique to me. Like I like to like. You know, like mess around and stuff. I'm not a robot. Like, 1, 2, 3, punch. Like
yeah.
I don't do all that.
So what
like,
do you do?
So it's a combination between. A Juan Castillo set, an aggressive kind of Marshall Yandem, put my helmet in there, and then the arms, the hands are just me.
Like, that's just reaction in you.
That's just, actually, I kind of just like to mess with the defender. Like, I don't want him to know when I'm going to punch him, because I have a really strong punch, and I just want him to be, like, wary of it. Sometimes I won't even punch. Like, sometimes they'll be so, like, wondering what I'm going to do that
right.
I just end up just grabbing him.
And you just kind of hold that hand. So, which is your better punch hand?
I usually punch with my left because I'm a left guard.
Right.
And
so
I have a 7'2" wingspan, and one arm is longer than two, as you
I
know,
mean,
if you've ever
you
done
literally
the basketball.
Almost touched.
So, like, yeah, you kind of like put that arm out there, and they have to respect it.
Yes.
They either have to swat it out the way, they have to respect it.
Because well, your arm
arms are so long,
like
literally,
pounds.
That right when they're out of their stance, it's in their face already. So they're like, they have to deal with that first. I'll let them deal with that, and then I'll like usually. Jab him with my right.
Yeah, I saw you have 35 7/8 arms. Like, that's insane, bro.
I use that to my advantage for
yes.
sure. Yeah.
Wait, so it's a cat and mouse game the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But you being at guard, I have to imagine you're dealing with stunts. Now the big thing in the NFL is third downs. We're moving the pass rusher to inside.
Yeah.
Have you seen that trend the last few years?
I've seen that since I was a rookie. The Steelers were doing that forever. Like every time we played the Steelers, whether it was like playoffs or whatever it was, like those are big rivalry games. They did whatever they could to like get to the quarterback. So I saw guys dancing, linebackers dancing in there. Every time we played the Texans, like those guys
Clownies
too,
just
dancing
there,
around, like messing around and stuff.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like a lot of teams are definitely starting to do that.
Shit, man. It's
for sure.
Because I think
the trick with that is just just to get back. If you get back, you can see everything. Like, if you know the snap counts, if you get off the ball,
right,
vertical, like you have to set like a tackle almost.
Yeah.
And get straight back, you can see what he's going to do.
And
the more
and
he dances,
on your right
the more
left.
He dances. The better it is for you. Like, let him dance all day and then kill him when you can, when he gets close enough.
What is the time in which you got somebody with the punch and you think it's your number one punch?
Man.
Like, I
can't
want
remember
one where
off
he
the
got
top
up
of
and
my
he was
head.
Like, KO. Serious, bro?
There was one where it was kind of like a punch off of a bull rush. It was a Samoan dude from the Panthers.
Starlu Tulele?
Yeah.
Nice.
So he bull rushed me.
It's a
and
big dude.
It was more like a drop, I anchored, like I did like a sumo.
Yeah.
And then I like gathered all my strength and I literally just tossed him on the top of his head. Like he went all the way back and flipped.
What?
I was so amped. That was a good battle.
Carolina like he was always a dog. Has those big dudes.
He was
like
a dog.
That. So is that something where like you get into the locker room and like the next day, or not the locker room, like you're watching film and they're just replaying it over and over again, or you like perk up in your seat when you know that play's coming?
It's not cool. You get a self-suck fine if you get too hype on your own play. So
what
you
kind of
have to like play it cool and just sip your coffee. And then like
your teammates,
like,
really
your teammates are like, damn, nigga. Maybe like looking back at you and you're just like, eh.
Wait, so a self-suck play?
Self-suck fine. Like if you brag or if you get hype on your own play, like a pancake or whatever, you get fined.
Is this every locker room you've been in?
It's most, yeah. I mean, if not an actual fine in Oakland, that was an actual fine. But in Baltimore, it was just like a
come on,
be humble. Yeah, yeah. So it was like, yeah, exactly. So it's like you can get you can like kind of shake your head. That was like the cool thing to do. Like,
oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
You know, we do what we can. That's such an offensive lineman room.
Yeah.
Like a wide receiver room.
Oh,
like,
they would be. Yeah, they'd be getting hyped,
dude.
The whole room would be going crazy over a catch. Like,
dude, I shut this motherfucker down. Yeah.
Cornerback. Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought you said quarterback. I was like, quarterback's kind of like us.
No,
yeah,
cornerbacks. Yeah, I feel like they watch and they're like. Could throw.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly like that. But on the inside, they're like, yeah.
They're like,
oh my God, you know how long I worked on that. Yes.
Do you believe that there's different personalities between different positions on the O-line?
Positions on the O-line?
Like, is there a difference? Like, are left tackles a certain way? Are centers a certain way?
Not all the way across the board. Like, there's some left tackles that are aggressive and can, like, jump you and are strong. And then there's like finesse ones. Mm. So there's like some finesse guys.
Yeah, like Jason Peters can dance.
That man, see, but that he can do both.
That's why he's a Hall of Famer.
He's just rare, dog.
Like Tyron Smith.
See, that's one of the examples of a coach Juan used to talk about.
Jason Peters.
And you'd be like, dog.
I know.
But the way he said that he learned like that technique to teach to other guys, I will say he did admit, was by watching Peters.
Well, he's got honestly, right foot up, left foot, and he does that
He
shuffle.
Literally just watched him. Like, how is he every time? And then he figured out patterns for certain players.
Wow.
And then he, like, which I respect that because then it kind of makes it. It didn't work every time.
Of course.
Because obviously guys are instinctive. They can feel that you're in a certain position every single time. So obviously they're going to do something about that.
Right.
But, like, definitely when you're tired and it's the fourth quarter, there's certain sets that will put you in the best possible position to succeed.
I'm just, like, I think about Von Miller's got his pass rushing camp. I had Trent Brown in here, and Trent was the only offensive lineman that went to that camp. And he even told me that it was great because he saw their moves. And it helped, like, he's like, I'm learning what their favorite moves are, and I'm hearing Von talk about
it. Yo, what camp is this?
It's the Von Miller pass rush camp. He invites all the other good pass rushers.
Wait, why would he let a lineman in?
Bro, Trojan
That's
horse. But I'm just saying, I think the offensive linemen need to get together. Like, I think
there's an O-line. We're doing one in Dallas. Yeah.
Are you doing one?
Yeah.
Who are you with?
Brian actually is the one that invited
Winters?
Me. Brian Winters, yep. Yeah. But I can't remember off the top of my head.
Dude,
he rattled off
Zach
some names,
Martin should be there.
He's there. He's going.
Like, Brandon Brooks should be there. Like, I'm just thinking
I'm not
of
sure
guards. Yanda. You know what I mean?
He probably won't go.
But it's so much more valuable to you guys at your position because who cares if the guard on the other team does great? Really what
That's
happens
true.
Is
yeah.
if he's great, then he might get paid more so that when you're up for the contract again, the
you
level's
get paid
higher.
More.
Yes.
That's true.
And I also think that offensive line play has kind of taken a step back the last few years, whether it's like spread offenses in college football have kind of made it harder or there's just
I feel like personally – this is what I see. I feel like it's not as nasty as it used to be. It's not as physical as it used to be, you know?
I'm not seeing you guys falling on people anymore. Or
it's so weird. Like, the stuff that they're just, like, teaching now, it's good to teach, like, technique, but I don't know. It's not the same.
So you think it's because it's become technique-driven?
It's always been a little technique-driven, but usually, like, you'd have a coach that's like, bury him, like, you know, like, get in his head,
yeah.
Finish him, take his soul from him, like, fourth quarter, he doesn't want to play, be physical. That was, like, the way that I was coached from, like, basically my whole life until, like, the last, probably, the first time that changed would probably be with Cable, but like, yeah, I don't know. Like, being physical is, like, the most important aspect. Yeah, you still need technique. But I don't know. It's all about, like, keep your head out and, like, you want to lift them and, like, foot far.
And like, you're like,
be rooted. Keep your feet flat on the ground.
Like, and you're like, let me just punch him in the chest.
And it's like, bro, like, football is a passionate game. You do need those tools, but at the end of the day, it's a passionate game. Yeah. Like,
when did you learn that?
Huh?
When do you think you learned that? Like, the
that
most?
It's a passionate game? College. Because I was at Iowa State. You know, I was a two-star or whatever. I had a big chip on my shoulder, and I knew I could ball. Like, I went there because, okay, I didn't get recruited by Texas. We're playing Texas. Beat Texas for the first time in school history. Oh, we're playing Nebraska. Sue's over there. All right, cool. Like, they're supposed to win the national championship. Yeah. Beat them at home. First time since, like, the 70s. Oh, okay, Oklahoma State's coming in here. They're ranked number two in the country. Triple overtime. We ran the same play, like, three times in a row. We ran power. They still couldn't stop it, and it was passion. It was senior night. My mom's in the stands. Wow. It's not going down like that. Wow. I'm not going out like that. Y'all are going home. We're going to a bowl game. It's passion.
That's amazing. That's another thing that's funny is I think there was a game like 2 years ago, 2016, when you had the incredible season. And I think you guys beat a team and you ran the same run play like 20 times in a game.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's so funny about the NFL, all sports.
It's so dope because nobody knows. Like, even between the
fans
guys,
don't
you don't talk
it.
About it. They might tell their homie, like, that other D lineman might tell their homie, like, yo, like, he real. You know, but it'll never, ever come out. But it's literally a one-on-one boxing match at that point. Like, literally fourth quarter overtime, whatever that situation is when the game is on the line or when it's that moment where it's literally like a dogfight.
Yeah.
Like, y'all aren't even talking shit at this point. Like, it's literally just you and him. And, like, it becomes a dogfight. And those
breathing.
Are the best. And then the best coordinators can see. Like, they see the matchups and they can see, like, yo, like, he's got this guy.
Yeah.
So they'll keep running it. Like, he's in the zone right now. Like, keep running that play.
Man.
Like, he's got the hype. And the dopest thing about it is, like, being in the huddle and you hear it again, you're like, yeah, he fucks with me. Like, let's go. My bad.
That was amazing. KO just hit his chest so hard that he knocked the side off. That's awesome. Really well done. I appreciate that energy. Bring your 33%. But that's so interesting because I've never thought of an offensive lineman hearing his number called. You know what I mean? Usually it's like, we're looking for this wide receiver on the go. We're pounding the rock again. But also it's like, oh, you're coming to the left side again?
You know. Like, the most you'll ever get is like, I remember like looking at DP and we would just like dap, like, yep. Like,
dude, your 2016 season of you, Donald Penn, and Hudson, center, left guard, left tackle.
Hey, don't forget Gabe, bro.
I'm not messing Gabe.
Go to Mississippi and hunt, too.
Yeah, with
dog,
Gabe?
Dog. Straight dog. He went to school with Fletcher.
When you're destroying people, what is that feeling like?
It's
like
the best feeling. It's the best feeling. and the best feeling about it is everybody feeds off of it. Like, I'm talking about Seth Roberts way on at wideout. It's like, all right, dog. Like, he'll just get this look in his eye, and then you'll get like a run around the corner, like perimeter, and Seth's got his dude out of bounds. Like,
because he's blocking.
Yeah,
too.
He sees you, and then like DP will see me get a cake. Like, all right. And then Gabe will see me get a cake. Like, all right, how many you got? We get back to we're tallying pancakes. Like,
man.
It just becomes a competition within the competition. Everybody's just feeding off each other. Like, you see a guy bury somebody, like, on your line, you just get so hype. And the energy changes. It goes from, like, oh, a game of X's and O's. It literally, like, that goes out the window at a certain point when you're rolling. Like, it doesn't matter what play you call.
That's what's so funny is with, like, analytics and people looking at, like, play calling and stuff now. At the end, it's are your big people going to beat their big people? Sometimes it's just that simple. Like,
I mean, I'm not throwing analytics out there. I'm sure there's coverages and things I don't know about all that.
Yeah.
But, like, literally, you can try to, like, look at analytics and numbers, but when there's some other shit going down during a game, like, bro, you can't measure that.
You can't. It all comes down to heart. That's why when I make my predictions in the beginning of the year, one of the main things I look at, other than quarterback and coach, because that to me is huge.
That's always going
to
be the same.
Depth on the O-line and D-line. Not just who are your best five and your best four on defense.
That's true.
Who is your eight? Who is your eight on offense? Who are your swing tackles? Who's your interior? Because
it's true.
Someone's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
It's a fucking hard game.
It's a long season.
But if I see you're 10 deep on the D-line and 10 deep on the O-line, bro, you're going to be good.
That's dangerous.
Raiders O-line was deep. When you were on the Ravens, that Ravens O-line was deep as shit.
The whole team was deep.
That was unbelievable.
Linebackers, safeties, corners, O-line. I would probably say O-line wasn't as deep, actually.
Well, I would say the fact that you had to come in as a rookie, second-round pick, and start at right tackle.
Yeah.
No, so you started
at right tackle, then they moved me to guard.
Left guard for the playoffs.
And I had never played that position in my entire life.
But you had to come in, and you started every game at right tackle.
Yeah.
To start your career like that right away, I mean, it had to make you some of the man you are today just to get dropped in like that.
It said a lot about, like, the work that I put in college, like all the games that I started in college, like my attitude, my demeanor,
right,
the way that I worked.
Right tackle in college?
Left tackle in college. And just like that whole, the way that I worked, I literally in my mind was a professional already in college, the way that I prepared. Like the way that I trained, I was like, I'm doing this. I was literally all in. Changed my major. I'm like, I'm focusing on ball. Like,
wow.
I'm doing this.
It just felt good.
It was literally like just all in. This is what I want to do. I'm going for it. If I don't make it, I don't make it. I'm going for it. And so like that, it just felt like that all paid off to like come in and get the job like that. Like, so they actually called me to report early, Harbaugh. And I'm literally like in college still, like just graduated, whatever. And he's like, yeah, we need you to come in a few weeks early. Like, our one of our tackles is overweight or whatever right now. We need you to like learn the plays, whatever. So I come in early, like I'm learning the playbook, like I'm lifting, like I'm grinding. I'm like, yo, like I think I'm gonna get a shot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I still remember like that first preseason game in Atlanta, first NFL game I've ever been to, walking in there, looking at the Jumbotron and being like, yo, like I'm in the NFL right now. Like, and Flacco being like, all right, let's go. You're not a rookie anymore. And like calling the play and being like, yo,
wow.
Like this is lit. Like this is crazy.
First play was a good play too?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I think it was. I know my first play in college was not. I buried the guy and got a fucking flag. I was pissed.
Damn.
I was like, what the fuck, ref?
I did my job and I'm going to punish for it. Who was there a guy that lined up opposite you that rookie year that was your, oh shit, I'm in the NFL moment? Because you were lining up against Terrell Suggs in practice.
Yeah, I guess that's probably why, yeah. I think I just saw, like, blocking so many like different guys, especially when I moved to guard and I was blocking Haloti Ngata, like it was just so much talent that, and they grinded, like they worked hard. That's like where I got like kind of how you prepare as a pro, like your attitude, like every rep matters in practice, like that attitude. Like there's some times where guys on the other side of the ball will be annoyed at your like work ethic. They're like, come on man, we're trying to make it through the season. But like that's where I saw like how you need to prepare to win a championship was by being on that line and going against that D-line, like, and blocking guys like Chris Canty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
monsters.
It's like, then when you get on the field on Sunday, it's like, who are you going to block that you're even worried about? I think one of my first starts in the regular season, one of the biggest guys I remember blocking and being like, what? Was DeMarcus Ware. Like, I was like, you know what? Like, why is everybody like, everybody's like so worried? And then I remember being moved to guard and they were worried about Justin Smith. And I'm like, what are y'all talking about? Like, because like the way that I prepared and my tenacity, I was just prepared. Like, I was just ready.
Those guys are both a similar skill set, I think, at that point of their careers.
DeMarcus Ware and Justin
Smith. I feel like DeMarcus, at that point when you played, they're more physical guys. I don't think anyone's going to out-physical you.
Yeah, I know.
Who are the kind of guys, though, that, like, give you, like, a little bit? Is it the smaller, quicker guys?
The best player that I have ever played against is Aaron Donald. That's the best player.
I've heard that so many times.
He's actually that. And you know it's true when guys actually say it, because we're very prideful. So you'd be like, you know, he's straight. Like, he's nice.
Yeah.
But, like, when you're just like, yo, no, like, he's clearly, when you separate somebody from other players, that's, like,
was the first moment, were you even like watching the film being like, I can handle this, and got on the field and it surprised you?
I'm not even going to lie. I didn't really watch film before I played him because I was just like, I'm going to get in his head and play physical. Like that was like my
famous last words. I'm just going to out physical Aaron Donald.
That's exactly what I did. You can watch the film.
Oh, you beat him up the first time.
No sacks, no pressures.
But he was still the best guy you ever
faced. Shut up. Still the best guy I ever faced.
How many times have you faced him?
I think just that one time.
Wow. You know what you sound like right now? Do you ever seen the clip of Mutombo telling Jordan, you've never dunked on me before? And he's like, you've never gotten me. You never. And Jordan's like, okay. And then later that season, Jordan dunked on him. I need to see if you're playing.
Nah, I'm just going to watch film if we play again.
Dude, stop. Stop sipping the coffee, Kermit. To win a Super Bowl, your rookie year. Now you're 7 years in.
Eight years in.
What kind of perspective is that for you compared to other players?
So that really taught me a lot about what a locker room is supposed to look like. And I just remember that feel and that energy, like the young guys really talking, the old guys really talking to the young guys. Like we had like a mentor system, every single veteran had a young player, like a rookie, and you were responsible for him. Like if you guys went out on the weekend, you made sure he got home safe. Mm-hmm. Like, you taught him about off the field stuff like professionalism, how you handle your business. Finances. It was just it was a brotherhood. And so I'm really grateful that that was my first experience in the NFL because like other guys that I came in with, I remember like, I think some guys were with like St. Louis, like, man, they so petty, bro. They like women, bro. Like it's like cliques and stuff. Like,
man.
And I remember being like, man, I'm glad I don't have to deal with that bullshit. Like,
For real?
Like our locker room was just like so tight. Like everybody was just like, they had the same mission. Everybody just was focused on winning.
Was that a Harbaugh thing or were there certain players that upheld that?
It was the players. It was like Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Ladarius Webb. Like
Time
we
out.
Just had leaders.
I forgot. So your first year, you're with Ed Reed and Ray Lewis. Holy shit. And Suggs.
Marshall Yanda, Terrell Suggs, like Haloti Ngata. And these guys were just like men. They were just like leaders. Like they just were ambitious. They knew what they wanted to accomplish. They wanted to take care of their families. Like they just were focused. Like it was just the men, like the type of men that were in that locker room.
Yeah.
They were just men. There was no like BS. Like
No. They
knew what they wanted to get done.
You've experienced BS since, I'm assuming?
Hell yeah. All the time. I just wish I had more of a personality to be like those guys. Be like, no, yeah, fuck that. But like, this is not my personality, dog. Like, I'm too
You're
like
a coffee sipper.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I just like
petty.
It's the Nigerian in me. I don't know, but like, I'm just like not the type to be like, oh, like, no, you know, like I just feel like
that's so funny.
I don't know. Like, maybe I need to learn how to be like that. Like, don't do that. But it's just not like my natural thing to tell people what to do.
I think, you know what? You'll probably reach a point like Ray did and Ed did where you know that your window's really closing and you realize that you can't put up with the bullshit anymore. Because your birthday is when?
I turned 30 this year, June 24th.
June 24th. You're about reaching the point of your life where you're going to be fed up with bullshit.
So what's
Talk
funny,
to somebody in their
what's
30s.
What's funny is like there's definitely been some things that I have seen when I first arrived, but they're already, it seems like, changing. And one of those is for sure like the work ethic, especially like the way guys are grinding in OTAs right now and flying around.
Yeah.
But like I feel like when I first got there, I kind of felt the vibe like, I was doing the most, like nobody ever say anything, but there'd be kind of like just that kind of energy, like,
right.
am I doing too much? You know what I mean? But like, I feel like now, like, dude, we're grinding, and it didn't even take any conversation. Like, it just
that's
literally
awesome.
Is just like happening.
Well,
so,
you're gonna lead by example.
I feel like that's just like I'm not a raw like guy. Like, just see me bury somebody and then go out there and do your thing.
Some people are built to be the talkers. And also be the executors. But I just think it takes so much energy to speak something into existence and do it.
It does.
You know, because
I almost feel like you're taking energy away from the actual action.
I
don't know.
It's the same reason that when I see an IPO, like a company go public, or I see someone announce they're shooting a movie, and they get all the comments, congratulations, that you're doing a great job, and you haven't done anything yet. That's the part where I think people can get caught up if they're the rah-rah guy too much. Because you do the rah-rah thing and you release some of that. You know, you release that. Maybe you hit the snooze from 5:50 to 5:55. It was a great day yesterday.
You got to be super low-key, dog.
Yeah.
You just got to do the work.
Ego's son of a bitch. I say that in every podcast.
Ego is the enemy.
Did you read the book?
Good book, yeah.
Ryan Holiday?
Yeah.
That's my guy.
Del Rio gave it to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you ever read Obstacle is the Way?
No.
That's the better one.
Okay.
Ryan Holiday, Obstacle is the Way.
Same guy.
Yes.
He knows something.
I've had him on the show multiple times.
That's pretty dope.
Dude, he's the man. He's got another book, because I know you meet with like Silicon Valley people. Perennial Seller is an amazing book too.
That sounds good.
Perennial Seller is about, he studies organizations and groups that have lasted for like a long time and what do they do to establish that early on.
Hmm.
How does I'm trying to think of, not Walmart, but like a company that's like a pizzeria that's been around for 100 years. Yeah. What do they do that the pizzeria that was around for six didn't do? And yeah. little stuff like that, looking at businesses and Apple and shit. It's the same thing what you're saying. It's foundation, technique. Like the people that are too heavy on one side and they're not balanced,
yeah.
it will eventually come back.
That's true. And you have to have your own special ingredient.
And good intention.
Lombardi's. It's my favorite pizza.
Lombardi's is your favorite pizza? In New York or?
In the world.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been to like some, I went to one in Tokyo that was like, oh, they went to Rome and all that. Sorry, Ronnie. But
yeah, no, yeah. that's not how pizza works.
Lombardi was just, yeah. Lombardi's
pizza to me is not weird. One of those foods where I want you to study the masters. I need an old grandmom that has a sauce that she hasn't shared the recipe with
That's
anybody.
A very Japanese thing, though. Like, get it perfect.
Of course. That's what they do with bourbon.
They perfect everything.
That's what they do with sushi. Oh, yeah.
They have, even like their French cuisine is supposed to have like the most Michelin stars. It's crazy.
And, yeah, and French is about perfect. Perfection. Yeah. And yet here they are. Yeah, because every day, that's like the ninja philosophy.
How do you feel about France? I don't know how I feel.
I've never been to France.
I didn't have the best experience because I didn't speak any French.
I hear they're assholes.
They did not like that. They did not like that. Yeah. It's funny because I always give cultures a chance. That's the one place I've traveled all over the world. Africa, Iceland, New Zealand,
wow.
Japan, China, Australia. Like, I've been around, and that's one place where, like, bro, what's up with y'all, man?
Really?
Like, what's up with y'all?
So, French much more rude than New Yorkers?
Hell yeah! It's not even close!
Wow.
It's not even close. I don't even know what they're, like, let me stop.
Well, I'm just curious, what is rude in France? I've never been, but I've heard this
ask
from...
Ask, like, I don't know, like, ask somebody,
how
you
do
know,
I get to
for directions or something like that, or... You know, about like a dish on the menu or like where to go out or like
a
whatever.
A waiter's rude?
What? Hell yeah! Oh my gosh. Chefs and waiters. Like if you don't like something and you send it back, I had a friend do that while we were there and it was an uproar. Like I couldn't even, like I was,
tell
but I'm like a
scene.
Pretty chill dude. So like he was pissed, but I was just laughing.
All
like,
right. I love awkward situations like that. I will never send back a dish.
Yeah, me neither.
Like, nope, that's what you ordered. That's what's coming. But tell me the scene, because I love situations like
okay,
this.
Okay, so what happened was we had told him how lit beef tartare is. We're like, yo, you've never had it. You should try it. We're here. Try it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like a guy from, like, the Midwest or whatever, like Iowa.
So raw
and he's
meat
just
might
like,
not agree with him.
Which is weird, because he'll eat a steak rare, but that, just the presentation in general, I don't know. I will say that it was very blocky, like it just came out of, like, a Spam can.
Wow.
The presentation wasn't the greatest, but... Yeah, he just wasn't feeling it. He took a bite and he was like, nah, dog. Like, can you, like, at least, like, heat it up a little bit or something?
Heat it up, tartare.
And, dude, like, actually, I will say I tried it and it was actually fire. Like, we almost invented a dish. Like, they literally just, like, flame torched it for, like, a few seconds and brought it back and it was, like, completely different.
Mm.
But, like, oh my gosh, like, that dude was so mad. Like, the chef wants to talk to you, blah, 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 blah. Beef tartare is not heated. It's not cooked.
And then the chef came out?
Yeah, like, they were pissed. That's we crazy. Literally just, like, stopped by a place because, like, we still had our bags and stuff before we checked in, and they were, like, mad.
That's incredible.
Like, literally asked the dude if you, like, oh, like, one of my friends wanted to hit a blunt, and the dude was like, oh, no, like, tripped on it. And it was like the way, like, dude, like, my boy's like, I'll pay you. And, like, they're still like, no. Like,
wow.
It was just, like, so weird. Like, why, though? I remember somebody, like, we went to, like, this, like, place to drink. This nice, like, there's, like, a really traditional, like, cool, nice, whatever. It was, like,
yeah.
Trendy place to go. And my boy orders a drink, and the bartender was rude, and he makes a comment about it. And the lady next to us is like, we're talking about how rude she was, and the lady was like, oh, are people not rude in America? Are they nice all the time? And we're like, that's not the point. Like, we're paying a lot of money to be here. And,
yeah. I've service. Never heard people like, in the service industry.
Would you let somebody just, like, slap you because the place is nice? Like, yeah. Well, I don't give a damn.
Do they not the slap is. You in America? No, motherfucker,
that's
they
not the
don't.
Point, dog. Like,
you got to be loving New York, then.
I love New York. It's awesome. I love it.
So where were you when you found out you were being traded?
So this is going to sound super corny, but... Well, my mom would love it. I literally was coming out of church.
Your mom loves that story. So you're coming out of church in where?
The lamest story ever. This is church, Howard Thurman, Church of All Souls. I randomly started reading about him after MLK, and I was like curious, like, because there was like a lot of stuff going on in San Francisco. It was dope. So they do like a lot of like really cool cultural stuff.
Yeah.
And so I'm like reading about Howard Thurman. I'm like, yo, like he kind of like philosophy wise, like we think about the same, think the same
awesome.
Things. So I'm like, whoa, he founded the church out here. Like, what? That's lit. I got to go to it. How's nobody talking? I like, the, you know how they review stuff on Google?
Yes.
And yep. Nobody was even going. So I went and checked him out like hella times. I was like, fam, every single time I went, it was like the most dope service.
Great.
And it was actually like relevant to the times. And they're
that's
actually
awesome.
Doing things in the community culturally, like they literally had like
a sermon
politicians
such a straight,
and stuff
man.
Like that. It was crazy. Like they were actually doing things, and it was just like, whoa, like this church is awesome. So yeah, I was, it was like a Sunday, and I, you know, I was going to that church in May. I like, called me and was like, yo, like sorry we never met. And I'm like, actually we have. I was in there like working out, and then we had a long conversation about how I met your son's friend, but whatever. And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so embarrassed.
Wait,
but yeah,
who
anyways,
is this?
You're going to New York, Mike Mayock.
Wait, so Mike Mayock said, I've never met you before?
He completely forgot meeting me in the conversation that we had about meeting his son, but it's all good. It's
that's
cool.
Like I
guess
was...
I'm not very...
I was...
Very
my first job was supposed to be in...
I'm nobody.
My first job was supposed to be in Reno, Nevada, and the news director got fired, and the guy that was filling in said, listen, Alex. And I was like, motherfucker. I was like, I'm not getting this job. So... Yeah, that's so did you have to leave church or were you already walking outside?
I was walking outside. The funny thing is I was walking in when he called and I actually knew. I had a feeling. So I knew right when I went in, but I was like, dude, this is not going to mess my vibe up. I'm going to church. Like, whatever. Like,
wow.
I'll deal with
you
it after.
You felt that.
Yeah, I felt it. I knew. And I was like, I'll call you back after I get out.
Oh, you said that to him?
Yeah, I told him.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And when your phone wasn't buzzing, you weren't getting
had
alerts.
It off. Yeah, no, I had it. I turned it off. So
you turn it on, and he
turned it back on,
and
he calls me.
And Mayock goes, "Hey, sorry, we never met." And you're like, "Actually, we have."
Yeah, exactly. And then he was like, "Yeah, like, you know, sorry to say, we've traded you to the Jets, whatever, blah 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 blah. Like, good luck, like, whatever, blah 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 blah." And he's like, "Mike McCagney's gonna call you." So Mike McCadden calls me and he's like, yeah, man, like I was, you know, over in charge of scouting with the Houston Texans and I've been looking at you since Iowa State. And I remember having a meet,
really?
I went to the Texans and he's like, man, I've been watching, like we've been trying to get you on the team.
Yeah.
We're one of the first teams that wanted you when you were going to Oakland, you went to Oakland. And I was like, oh yeah, like the Texans were like one of the people that coming
sure.
out in free agency were like, I was like, yeah. And then he was, yeah, it was just like a really good conversation. And I was like, yeah, God's plan. I actually started playing God's plan. I was like, yeah. Dog.
Did you really on Drake?
Hell yeah.
There probably was like two things. There's one that's like, it's like the highs and lows. The low is the team that I was just on traded me.
That you bled for, that you had so much pain for, that like you vibed so much with your teammates with, like have so many memories with, like, it was crazy. I remember hitting up Gabe. Gabe was the first person I told, and I was like, yeah, dog, they traded me. He thought I was playing. He's like, stop lying. I'm like, yeah, dog. And he was like, I'm probably next. You never know what they've been doing around here. Like, because it was just like that, bro. Like,
the day before you got
gone.
Traded, they got Antonio Brown in a trade. So you probably had a
the day
of being
the
like.
Funny, yeah, the funny thing was the night before we were celebrating, my boy Neil, one of his friends, like, started the company, like a startup or whatever. And we're celebrating her, and then the news came at dinner that we got AB, so we're all at the table.
You're
like,
lit.
Yo, we about to be cold, like,
yeah.
Dang. And then, like, yeah.
The next
morning
at
church.
It was the next day.
Yeah, I think it was the next day. Yeah,
so that flipped
morning.
Real quick.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. You have all these up and downs where you have the up ABs on your team, down the team that I bled for.
And then up again because Le'Veon
again,
Bell.
Well, I would say up again, too, because you find out you're going to New York.
Yeah, that, too.
Like, what was
and
your...
also... the fact that Mike, like, McCagnan was, like, trying to, like, get me over there. So I'm like, oh, so they really, like, fuck with me.
Yes.
And I kind of felt like they didn't really fuck with us. Like, with the whole Gruden, like, organization, they came in. We had, like, you know, like, we were vibing, bro. We had a team. We had a unit. You know what I mean? Like, similar locker room to Baltimore.
Yeah.
And it just, like, almost felt like, oh, we're rebuilding right away. Like, yo. Like,
you could feel that change immediately.
Right away. As soon as they came in. I remember Cable sitting me down and being like, yeah, man, we going to take this guard. If Indiana doesn't take him out of Quentin Nelson, we're going to take him. How do you feel about moving the tackle? Like, as soon as I meet, like, first, like, one of the first conversations I have with the team, so I'm like, okay, so you're already trying to move me. So, all right, cool. And
I was an all pro.
So I'm like, all right,
didn't
like, I kind
of
see where this is going. If we can't get him, then we're going to get Colton Miller. You You know what I mean? Like, I just want to be upfront and honest with you, which I respect him for that. But it was just kind of like, yo, like, our O-line is cold, though. Like, what? Like, yeah. Just the disrespect in general, just to be like, mm.
That's the thing that's crazy to me is if you want to say we're reevaluating the wide receiver position, if you want to say we're going to look at running backs, but when your offensive line, like, three of them all went to the Pro Bowl, the other two were, like, really, really solid, and, like, there's been no issues at all, and to just go, we're going to change that foundation. That was not the position
and
group I thought.
And especially because we were like the hardest working group. We were like literally the heart and soul, and it was just like, so there's nothing that we can do to convince you, bro. Like, it's deflating.
Do you think they just like, why do you think they came in with that mindset?
So from what I've heard from other people, it's kind of one of those like ego things. I guess somebody was saying like, oh, like we're going to win a Super Bowl, but it was with other people's players. So maybe he just wanted to do it with his own guys this time. Mm. I don't know. Like, I really don't know. Like, you never really
know
what's going on.
Did you have good talks with him?
We had a lot of talks in his office, and they were not like what he said obviously did not come to fruition. So take that for whatever it's worth.
Ooh, what was the best thing you were told that didn't come to fruition?
Yeah, man, the next 5 years, man, like, you're going to be a leader on this team. We really respect how hard you work and your work ethic and all this and that, like, blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, all right, well, we'll see.
Man. Oh, look.
That's the business, though,
look,
man.
Look, man, you know? My old partner, Sims, used to tell me all the time that cost Gruden a lot when he was with the Bucs, because he was a quarterback on the Bucs. Is he would tell you things, and then later it wouldn't be the truth. Mm-hmm. And like, I appreciate Cable telling you the truth.
See,
like,
I respect that. He kept it real. He did. He kept it real. It's like, hey, man, we're trying to make these moves. Like, we want to do what we want to, like, you know, and it's like, you know what's up. You know what I mean? Like, you always, at least you know what's up. You might not like it, but you know what's up.
Damn. So that sounds like a whole nother lesson learned for you, this whole process.
I mean, man, like, I played, like, I went through the coach change with Gene Chizik and then Paul Rhodes coming in and then him, me coming out and him being like, oh, like telling scouts, oh, he has character issues, like all this other. I've been through so much like stupid political like stuff that at this point it's just like I almost expect it out of coaches, especially because I'm the type of player that I like talk to the free agents and stuff like that. So I hear things. So I know. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
We talk about so many people love to talk about how like athletes can be childish. And I think coaches are worse.
What?
They don't get drug tested. Nobody questions what they're doing. Like, they say a player's a certain way, and we take it, and we never wonder if a coach is a certain way.
It's crazy, dog.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I'm not even going to say, like, we're not even going to speak on character when it comes to coaches, dog. Like, I'm not even going to go there.
You've done enough. I don't know. So your reaction when AB got there, you were excited, obviously.
Super right.
Then Mayock tells you, Gruden never said anything to you?
Yeah, actually, I went by. Like, they didn't
tell
me to, but I went by. Like, I wanted to talk to him. And
say your
I don't
piece.
Know. And no, not even. Like, I just wanted to leave it professional. Like, I didn't even say that I was upset or anything like that. I was like,
you're like, hey, nice playing
for you.
I'll
see you down the line. Like, you know, nice playing, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Just wanted to say goodbye. You know what I mean? Like, maybe we'll be working together in the future because you never know in the NFL. So,
did it go over well?
It was kind of like, I think it did. I don't know. He was very surprised that I did. I don't know. Like, I think it went over really well, but it was just kind of like, I don't know. They were surprised for sure that I came by to talk to him.
I love that you did that. It's like, it's sort of like, now just face me to my face. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to bring any negative energy. I'm not going to be angry. I just want to see your eyes.
And the funniest thing is, like, going in there and, like, the security dude meeting you in the front. Like, what's up, man? Like, how you doing? Like, blah, 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 blah. Like, what y'all think? I'm a blow this motherfucker. Like, I still got my shit
I'm not going to do what everyone thinks I'm going to do.
Can I get some stuff out of my locker, my dog? And also say goodbye?
And freak out. Were you offended that they only got back a fifth-round pick?
I didn't even check up on that after that point. As soon as I heard that I got traded,
I was offended for you.
As soon as I like got the trade or whatever information, like, it was just...
Bro, as long as the check clears...
Yeah, actually, there was a janitor. I used to leave at like 10, 11 some nights, like on a Friday night, just like whatever, bored. I'm going to work out because I'm weird like that. I like to work out. I like to lift weights. And there was a janitor that actually said that because I asked him how he was doing. Like, yeah, you good, bro? Like, how you doing? Because he looked tired. He said, hey, man, you know what they say, as long as that check clears. And I was like, you know what, dog? You right, dog.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You real for that one. You know
no, for real. Khalil traded. Amari traded. I mean, and then you, like, I have to imagine the guys back there right now are kind of like, who's next? It has to be.
Yeah. That's exactly what Gabe said. Even Rodney joked about that. Like, yeah, man. I mean, like, we have, like, these professionals that we work with or whatever, like, shrinks and even a shrink, team shrink. Like, hey, man, like, it's a lot of people talking to us right now. They're very concerned about. I'm like, damn.
Shrinks are talking to other shrinks. They might replace me.
Like, it's crazy over there right now. It's
crazier to be on the team for Khalil being traded or Amari.
Amari was for, well, Khalil was just like, what? But then, like, and then it's a shock, but it's so early still. But yeah. Then, like, the Amari was just like, yo, they literally do not care. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? It was just like,
yeah, because Khalil was before the season and they got back multiple first round picks and he was already holding out.
So. Really, the first one you're forgetting is Marquette King. Like,
just cut
in my opinion, like, best punter, like, in the game. In my opinion, like,
what's interesting is he leaves Oakland and right now he's actually meeting with the Texans. That's exactly what Shane Lechler did, former Raider, goes to Houston. And many people believe Shane Lechler is the best punter of all time. Interesting thing with special teamers is their salaries get higher as they get older, and teams are like, you know, we could really save $400,000 on the punter this year by getting this kid out of North Dakota State. You know what I mean? But so Khalil, there was a track record. Amari, was that, what week was that?
That was in the middle. Like, I felt like that was pretty deep in the season, like in the middle of the season. I don't remember what week, but it was in the season to the point where it was just like, wow.
And you're aware when, like, that you news, even you're not working out of church for that, are you?
No, we're on the field at practice. We're literally already had been through most of like grinding.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And then, like, they get their little, I don't even know dude's names, like some, I don't know, some guy, whatever, grabs him. And we're sitting there like, nah. Like, it was, like, so unbelievable. It would have been, like, if an alien landed on the field and was like, hey, what's up, foo? Like, I'm from Checklist or whatever.
Yeah.
You're like, yo, that's an alien. It was like that. Like, people were just shocked. Like, what the hell is going on right now?
How did it spread? Did they call around the team and say this just happened?
They didn't say anything. Like, literally, you just, like, turned around and saw it. You're just like, what?
Oh, so you just see him come off the field, but you don't know why he's coming off the field.
No, you know, because this guy is the guy that always cuts people, or, like, it's always bad when you see this guy. You know it's not good.
And you're like, so you guys are like, they didn't cut him. Like, what the hell?
You know, because he's a baller. You know they didn't just cut him. Like, he's a baller. You know that. He's going to ball.
So,
like,
was the team just deflated after that?
That, for sure, was, like, the dagger. Like, a few times it was, like, some situations where it was just, like, you know, you're on the field and certain things are getting called or whatever, and you have no control of that. Yeah. And you're just like, do they care or whatever? And it's like, we're working so hard and, you know, and the pain and all that, people playing through injuries, and you're like, what are we doing?
Right.
But then that was probably, like, the dagger where it was just like,
wow. So the whole team after that moment, you could feel it weeks
you could
to come.
Feel it. Like, people were, like, talking about it in the locker room. Like, yo, like, I guess they, like, really, like, rebuilding. Like, you just, like, knew. At that point, you know,
I had a story. I did a story with Malcolm Jenkins, and I'm on his roof, and we're getting ready. We had just shot all day about, like, bow ties and how he's, like, prepared for a zombie apocalypse and all that. And it's, like, a fun time. And I get a buzz on my phone, and the Eagles had just traded Sam Bradford, and that meant they were going to start Carson Wentz that year. And his face was filled with so much disappointment, because in his mind, he didn't come there to play for a rookie quarterback. He didn't come there to do the rebuilding. Mm. Because when you're an athlete, your window is not that long.
Exactly.
And
it's
so
way different for coaches with the long tenures and the guaranteed contracts that they have. Like,
so when you're a team and you go, we're rebuilding, anyone on that team over the age of 27 is like, bro, not now.
Dudes are asking for trades. Like, some guys, like, I'm just not that type of person. Like, once I sign on to do something, I finish that. But, like, Bruce for sure was a guy that was just like, yo,
get me out of,
like,
here.
Deuces.
I want to go to Atlanta or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, his wife's there or whatever. So he's like, hey, like, you know, like, he's from there too. Like,
What was it like to have Marshawn Lynch on your team?
That was dope. He kept it too real. Like, we had the realest conversations on the plane to the point where, like, coaches would come get their rookies so that they would not have to hear what he was saying, just so they can keep them.
What kind of shit is he spitting on the team plane?
Like, just straight up stuff, bro. I don't even want to repeat it. I'm scared to repeat it. I'm not even going to say it.
Was it about football or was it about
life? It was about football, but it was also about life too.
Yeah.
And, like,
oh, no,
and what's going on with football. I'm not even going to get into it.
He sees through the games. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and he's the kind of guy.
And he saw it early, too. Like,
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's what's so funny is on a team that had that much turmoil and change, to have the ultimate truth teller in the locker room. I just feel like at all times he would have been like, Hemi, what the fuck are we, like, on meetings? Like, I just feel like he would do that all the time.
Occasionally. Yeah. Occasionally he would.
Yeah, I don't, like, want, you, I don't too, want you to
he wasn't too,
get
he
trouble.
Wasn't very, like, he wasn't disruptive or anything like that. But, like, privately is, like, where he was, like, basically, like, hey, look, you know, this is the deal.
Here's the facts.
Yeah.
If somebody were to call you, whether it's Cleveland Farrell, their fourth pick in the draft, or another guy, and they said, what's Gruden like? What would you tell him?
You know what? He's a passionate guy. He's a passionate guy. He loves the game. He's going to get up at 4 in the morning, you know what I mean, and start coaching. You know what? But like, I really don't know. Like, I felt like I knew. I don't know. I really don't know.
So you'd say, I was with him for a year, and I still don't know what he's like. I don't know. I don't really know.
I know parts of what he's like, but I can't say that I really know what he's like.
Mm. Can I ask you an awkward question? Because it's been one of the things I've been most fascinated by. Monday Night Football, Raiders, Washington, all the stories that came out. Is there any truth to that shit at all?
This is 100% false.
100% false?
Yeah. So if you really want to know what happened, obviously we had heard what Trump said.
Right.
And clearly there's a lot of guys just like right here that felt a certain type of way.
How could you not?
And so we're like, man, like, we got to do like some type of display, something. It wasn't even that big of a deal. Like, it was literally like, hey, like, you know, we're going to sit or whatever. We're not going to even make a huge deal out of it. And like, all right, cool. And then it was just like,
this is when he came out and said
coaches
that.
And like a bunch of people were like, oh, like, basically don't do that. Like, just stay in the locker room or, like, whatever it was.
Right.
And it wasn't even to the point where people were, like, distracted. It was literally like, hey, we're just going to do this one thing. And then it was just, like, a weird thing where, like, there were certain players that were like, no, like, we shouldn't do that, whatever, blah, 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 blah. But it's just like, man, like, that's, like, three of y'all saying that we shouldn't do that. And a lot of us feel a certain type of way. So it was kind of messed up that three people would be like, nah, like, basically make us feel like we're in the wrong for, like.
And to have this kind of discussion
day,
right
too.
Before a game.
Yeah, but it was, like, the night before, though. Like, it was, like, the day before or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, by the time game day came around, like, most of us were just like, hey, like, this is how we feel. This is what we are going to do.
Yeah.
Y'all, like, do what y'all have to do. But we feel this way about this right now.
You're the only all-black offensive line in the entire NFL. The entire NFL.
How could you not?
How could it not? Like, yours.
I don't understand how you cannot understand that.
This was when he came out and said the NFL players are, he didn't say pieces of shit. What did he say?
Yeah. He said, like, sons of bitches. Yeah.
Sons of bitches. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the rumors were about Derek. And I just wasn't sure.
That's super false.
That's what I'd love for you to clear up.
Like, we all mess with him.
Yeah.
Like, he's funny. He's not one of those quarterbacks that's, like, super, super serious all the time. You can't relate to him. I don't know, man. It's like one of those little media things. Like, a little troll out there said some crazy stuff for a little, like,
Derek got
wannabe
sacked a lot.
Media person was like, oh, this is why that happened. And then, like, you know, yeah, like, MAGA Gunter or whatever, like, go crazy. They latched onto that. And we're like, ah, is this what's going on in the team? Like, y'all couldn't be, like, way off. Like, y'all way for
it. It is interesting how they've dealt with Derek. Because I hear people all the time, like, I can't tell if they like him or if they don't. And that's like players.
You
and
should
coaches.
Like him. Players like him. I have not met a player that doesn't like Derek.
That's awesome.
I feel like that's 100% false that people don't like Derek as far as players are concerned. The people that actually know him, you have to like him. He's too good of a guy not to like.
Yeah.
Like, there's never
AB
any.
AB fucks with him.
Everybody. Like, you just have to. Like, have you met him? Like, if you meet him, you're going
to
love him.
Good energy.
Like, his dad, like, his whole family.
Yeah.
They're just a great family. He's just a great guy.
Interesting. Fucking rumors, man. I never know who starts.
It's crazy because it's like you're not allowed to address it. Like, you're taught not to, like, oh, you don't make any comments about this. We're focused on the season.
Especially offensive
linemen. And you just want to just squash it, but they're like, don't talk to any media about that.
Man. Are you happy to be gone? Like, at this point, like,
it's not like
not
happy.
A disrespect to the fans.
Yeah, but I'm just glad that I'm not dealing with all that anymore. I just want to play football, bro. Like,
yeah.
Period.
And like, you're getting
that. Like the same thing when you're rah-rah or whatever and how that can take away from the energy. I'm just trying to play ball, like, period. You know what I mean? So.
And you've now, is this like the best health-wise you've been in a long time? Like, getting in shape, like doing keto and intermittent fasting and all that stuff?
Yeah.
You can feel it.
Yeah.
Well, how different does your body feel right now?
Well, I took a lot of weight off my joints. So, I mean, obviously my knees and my back feel better.
What weight are we at?
I'm 310 right now.
And you were what the last few years?
325, wow. 330.
And we don't think that's going to mess up your power at all?
I'm the strongest I've ever been, man. Really? Shout out to Justice. You know what I mean? Our strength coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we got a real one, bro. Like, we have a real strength coach. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say anything about the last one we had in Oakland. But this dude is raw. Like, this guy's raw.
You're just feeling like, is it different exercises too?
Hell yeah, it's way different. I don't know what the hell we were doing in Oakland last year.
Well, I saw your off-season weight room in the where the training camp is. It's like a high school in Oakland. I'm like, I don't know what this looks like, the yard. Like, I don't know what's going on.
It has nothing to do with that because we worked out there when we were with Joe Gomes, in my opinion, like the coldest of all time dude is like working for NASA now. He's that smart. State Department.
Oh, he was the like trainer killers. Guy back
like,
then.
Yeah, like he was. He's the truth.
Wow,
this dude's the truth. So, which and then obviously that translates like to how we won 12 games and all that type of stuff. Like, and then like the guy that we just had, he's since been fired. Like, I mean, no disrespect. Like, you know what? Hey, that was his Gruden's guy. Whatever,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but like. I'm just happy that we got a good strength guy now. Like, to me, that's so important. Like, there are certain players that don't like it. Like, oh, like, I can understand you're a skilled player. You don't want to get, like, too big.
Yeah.
You just don't want to run fast. But, like, for, like, that position up front, if you're not training the right way, if you're not also training smart, too, because there's a lot of banging up front.
Sure.
You're just not going to, one, make it through the season, and two, like, you're going to burn out fast. There's going to be way more injuries. And you can just see just from the amount of injuries that we had from the one strength guy to the next how important that is to actually have a guy that's coached and has been coaching and has been learning and has been progressing with training in the NFL. It's a it's a competitive job. Like, you have to be front of the line.
Like 60% of their job is learning new techniques. 60% of their job is going out and getting certified and learning the correct.
We had guys that weren't even certified in
the
weight room.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, we had a physical,
you're playing on a baseball field
trainer.
And you have trainers.
We had a personal
certified.
Trainer. We had literally one of like the guys that were training us was a personal trainer. That was his qualification. We literally had
how
athletic
did you
trainers
not say
with
anything?
More qualifications. You really can, dog, because then you're the bad guy. Like, you can't. You can't.
No, I would
certain,
be in there.
We tell certain guys, like Lee Smith was one of our guys. He was on the leadership council.
Yeah.
So we'll go to the leadership council and be like, bruh. And then he'll go back and talk to the coach Gruden. And then Gruden come back. We'll give him a little bit more time. And then it gets kind of pushed back. And by the time they actually do something,
it's too late.
Yeah. And then also, dude's on a guaranteed contract too. So you think he cares really? Like, he even said that. He was like, I'm a guaranteed contract anyway, even if they do get rid of me. Like, dude said that. I was literally in his office because he came to me and was like, what's going on? Why are the guys upset? And I told him why they're upset.
You're like, really?
And I'm just like, well, I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter for you guys. And that's the thing, bro. It's a business, man. Like, they don't care the way that we care. Players just, like, they don't care the way that we care.
I hope that this staff, this Gay staff, cares. And I hope that you're like, damn, I feel like I'm first year Baltimore all over again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what it feels like. That's what it's feeling like right now.
It is.
Yeah. And
that's exciting. Jets fans are going to love to hear
this. This, man, I'm telling you, bro, like, this strength coach, bro. Like,
what's his name?
Justice Gallic.
Justice Gallic?
Gallic.
G-A-L-A-C. All right, so if you want to be jacked, Justice. Nice.
Yeah.
307, nice. You were saying. To go up against now Leonard Williams every day in practice and Quinnen Williams, now like this incoming young guy, do you think you could actually help teach Quinnen too?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because we've heard about like offensive linemen teaching offensive linemen, but what about you helping?
It almost is more that way. Like, that's how it works. Like, especially if it's a smart guy that's really trying to absorb everything and really, really trying to learn, like, that's just how it works. He'll come up to you and ask you why he can't beat you. Obviously, because in college, he can beat everybody.
Yeah.
And so, like, if it's a smart guy that's not, like, overprideful, which he seems like a really humble, like, really good kid.
Went to Alabama, man.
He's going to be asking questions. So, and you love to see that. Like,
I've heard so many times that when the first round pick walks in, the team has to be impressed. Like, it's important for the team to go, we got ourselves a good one. Have you seen Quinnen work yet?
No, I haven't. Okay. I think they show up this weekend. But
what is that?
I don't know. I don't know if I would say that, honestly. That wasn't my experience in Baltimore, at least. Like, I don't know. It's kind of like...
Well, you and Corey Upshaw show up together.
It's weird. Yeah.
And I'm sure I'm sure the defense went, damn, that Kelechi's a big motherfucker. And they were like, oh, Upshaw, that's a big... Like, I'm sure it kind of amped them up a little bit.
Maybe, I don't know, but like they don't really start saying anything until the pads come on, you know? Like when they that's that sport. It's like one of the last, you know, well, sports in general, it's like one of the last meritocracies. It like doesn't matter how hyped up you are or what you say. It's like once guys actually see it and they experience it and they feel it, then it's like, all right.
Right. Yeah, because you just sliding around with no pads on and not knowing how physical you are.
Yeah.
But if you get into like a fight early on or you toss somebody and then everyone's like, damn, we got ourselves a real
exactly.
one.
We got a dog.
What was your welcome? Like, did you have a play where the other team, like the defense, kind of acknowledged?
It wasn't like a specific plays. It was just like a series of plays during training camp my rookie year. Where guys would come up to my locker laughing, like, hey, man, you got to chill, 72. You got to chill, dog.
Yeah.
Like, dang. And we going to red dot you. We going to red dot you. I'm like, what's red dot
yeah.
mean? Like, hey, man, the red dot means, like, the whole defense watching you. Next time you dump somebody, they going to jump you. They kind of say that to, like, scare
damn,
you.
But
they don't
awesome.
Actually do it. But, well, to certain guys, if they can do that to certain guys. But, like, yeah, but, like, they'll, like, yeah, like, they'll come up and they'll be like, no, I'm playing, man. Hey, you going to get us right, bro. We're going to be good this year, man.
That's
we
awesome.
Need that work. Like, that's a good locker room. Like,
yes.
they're competitive and they don't like getting beat, but then they'll like joke around and be like like, all right.
So that's a good media note for everyone listening, is if you see rookies getting complimented right now, let's wait.
Yeah, no.
But if after the pads come on you start seeing rookies getting complimented,
it's,
you know,
it's,
the team
real.
Really fucks
it's
with the
real.
Guy.
Yeah,
even like wide receivers, they don't even need, like, if one's like amazing,
it's still different under the lights though. And it's still different when you're running across the middle and could get hit and like,
or
it's
they just let
it's
you
just
go.
Different. Like, there's a lot of guys that are super athletic and make incredible catches, but like under the pressure of the lights they can't perform, you know what
yeah.
I mean? That happens sometimes, and there's a lot of guys that just can't transfer that ability. And just really, you just have to be like, yo, the same stuff I'm doing, what made
yeah.
me dominant, you just got to keep doing it and not even think about the fact that you're in the NFL. It's just a jersey in front of you, do the same stuff that you do. You know what
have
I mean?
You talked to Sam at all, Darnold?
Yeah, a couple times, yeah.
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 It's a good young quarterback.
Yeah, I think he's going to be good.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
He's my guy. I like him a lot. All right, so I have three stories that I kind of want to talk about that are either lessons that we could have learned, lessons people should have learned, and I have a nugget. I'm going to start off with the nugget. Coming out of Dallas camp right now, Travis Frederick apparently looks really good. Apparently he's on field running plays, was practically an extra coach last season, and I know just from like looking at offensive lines, Dallas has been one that you've had to keep your eyes
yeah,
on for a long time.
They're awesome. They're
and
really
to
good.
To have a good year last year without him, if he is able to come back, I'm personally looking at Dallas and going, watch the fuck out.
Oh,
because
for sure.
They just drafted Connor McGovern in the third round to kind of compete with Connor Williams and provide insurance if Frederick can't play. Because he had this disease that they don't even know exactly what it is
oh,
yet.
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah,
but if he's able, I just think that. That's something I'm looking at right now. Look out
it's
for
crazy.
The Cowboys if he comes back. That's just a little nugget. Something that we need to learn, or I thought we learned, involves one of your teammates. Le'Veon Bell was not at voluntary camp.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have thought that he insulted everybody's mom in the history of the world.
Mm-hmm.
He came out and he said, here's what I'm going to say. When it's time to play football, I have to stick to my formula that I know that works for me to be the best player I can be. I'm not just trying to win games. I want a ring. I want to desperately show everybody what I can really do. I'll take the heat right now. Mm. Everybody will forget about that when January comes.
Mm.
So his statement included this. I have a formula.
Mm.
I want to win a Super Bowl.
Mm.
I'm going to perform big this season, and I'll show you around the playoffs.
Mm.
And people were offended by that.
They were offended by that?
People were like,
fired up about
people
that.
People are, but they're going, yeah, if you care that much, you're going to be around your team, blah, 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 blah. Adam Gase comes out and says, he was here the first week of offseason workouts.
He was.
We gave him a lot of good information. He's got a good training regimen to go through. He knows his body.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much the coach was like, we gave him the information. He's signing off.
Yeah.
But every television, I'm watching Good Morning. I'll call him out. I'm watching Good Morning Football. I'm watching shows on ESPN. I'm watching shows on NFL Network. And all of them are going, I don't know. I think you should be there. I think you should prove it to people, blah, blah. It's their bodies and voluntary workouts.
It's voluntary, man. Yeah.
Well, this is what happens. This is every debate on television. They debate the word voluntary and how it means you don't have to be there. And then some blowhard comes over the top and goes, if you really give a shit, you'll be there. Tom Brady did not go to training camp last year.
Walter Jones never showed up.
Fletcher Cox didn't go the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone said, oh, we'll see if both of those guys won the Super Bowl. Tom Brady won last year. Fletcher Cox won the year before. Aaron Donald held out last year, missed everything.
Mm-hmm. Fresh.
And won defensive player of the year.
Came back fresh.
What do we need to explain to people that preservation is just as important as preparation?
I mean,
also, it's not your fucking body.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't understand how we're still having the same fucking debate all the time when it's been proven every freaking year that these camps, as long as you're working out on your own and learning the playbook, do not matter.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't get it, Kalachi.
It's true. It's true.
I know. I just like you saying that. It makes me feel more validated. But that's.
I wouldn't say that they don't matter.
If you're a rookie, you got to be there. Like, we saw it impact.
I feel like there's certain positions. Rookie, quarterback, if you're new to the system. Offensive line, if you're new to the system.
Right.
But there's certain positions that are so, instinctual, like running back, that it's like, come on.
Defensive line.
D-line, come on.
Like, it's just, you're just breaking on.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Like ball.
Yeah.
Know what direction to go. Hit the hole. Do your thing. Know who to protect and protections.
Yes.
Yeah.
Le'Veon, I saw a quote from you that said he's busting his ass right now.
Yeah, he's grinding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that like to see?
It's
Is this
dope.
The guy
it's
you're
good.
Blocking for, man?
It's good. Like, he's working. I can't wait to see, him put the... It's going to be dangerous. Mm. Like, the way he's working, to see him put on pads and carry the rock, tote the rock, it's going to be dangerous.
I love rooting for guys to prove a lot of people wrong. And I'm one of the few that think that what Le'Veon did contract-wise was a smart move. Oh, he held out and he didn't get that much more. He got a lot more in guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. And also, he got a year off with his body. Like, think about Marshawn coming back. Like, dude felt amazing, great, explosive. You can't even tell, how old he was. All the young rookies, how are you moving like that?
Because he had a year off.
Exactly. That's huge.
Do you think it's more important at the running back position, or is it valuable for any position?
It's valuable for a lot of positions. Offensive line would be a position where there's a lot of banging.
Yeah.
For sure, running back. They get hit all the times. Yeah, exactly. They get hit as much as us. If they're getting the ball, they're getting hit.
And if they're not getting the ball, they're blocking.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm excited. I think it's cool that people are going to question Le'Veon, and he could come back more well-rested with a better offensive line now with, you there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've liked a lot of the additions you guys have made this year.
Yo, Harrison's going to be a dog.
Yeah, talk about that.
So, he was my workout partner for Strain. It's this thing, it's a crazy workout, Justice is Psycho. But we compete or whatever. We're in the same workout group, the old line, me, Winters, a lot of us compete.
Yeah.
Just the way that he works, how athletic he is, and he's intelligent, the questions that he asks, he's going to be one of those under the radar guys.
How old is he? Do you know?
I don't know. He's young, though. He's a younger guy.
Are you
from talking to the guys, in the locker room, they were saying that...
Jonathan Harrison, the center?
Yeah, the center. Harrison, yeah. From what guys are saying, they said he should have started last year, from what guys are saying. They're
really?
He should have been the guy last year.
I watched some of the snaps in that Miami game. You probably haven't seen that with the Jets. They needed a center. So if Harrison could be the guy... That's awesome.
I can't wait to see him play, bro. I'm excited from what I've seen. That's one guy that I'm excited to see.
But I thought the signing of Jamison Crowder was great. A guy over the middle for a quarterback like Sam that looks over the middle. Le'Veon Bell, CJ Mosley.
CJ is a good
Such
addition.
A dog. You did not cross over with him in Baltimore.
No, I did. Yeah, we were in Baltimore together.
For a year?
Was it two or one? Definitely for at least a year.
Did you pitch him at all in the Jets? Or did he just, he was already.
Nah, I didn't pitch him. I didn't pitch him at all.
That's awesome, though.
Yeah.
It's got to be great to see your team sign guys like that.
It's dope, especially when you know it's a good player.
Yeah. You're I faced that guy.
Yeah. I seen him work. I know how he moves. I know what he can do.
The last lesson that I had is a lesson that I think we can all learn. Sean McVay came out, favorite coach right now in the NFL, and said that he fucked up. and that he actually overanalyzed the Patriots. And what's funny in our culture right now is people see headlines and they make jokes, but they don't read articles. So the joke was, oh, I coached too hard. Sean McVay came out, and this was a Sports Illustrated article, and said he watched every game the Patriots played last season, including the playoffs and their two most recent Super Bowl appearances. And apparently when he said the last part, he shook his head and he was like really upset with himself. Mm. He said that he watched 20 games in that two-week period to get ready. Mm. And his quote was, you see stuff that worked in week three, but you forget that so much has changed since week three. You can watch so much film that you lose perspective.
That's accurate, though. Like, I feel like coaches usually, I mean, they'll watch all of it, but then, like, I feel like they won't really go in depth unless it's, like, the last four games. Definitely, I feel like it's not common to go to other Super Bowls and stuff like that and watch the film. Like, you want to see how they're playing teams and how the team's progressing and what their tendencies are within, like, the last, I don't know, like, 5 or 6 weeks. Because that really gives you, like, there's different guys in the year before and in the year before. There's not 100%. Even the same players. How are you going to evaluate that? So, but like, I can see that. Because you're taking time away from actually looking at what they are now. So
I think the thing is, one, that's the power of Belichick. Is he's gonna make you go, maybe there was a trick play in Super Bowl in 2001 that he might bring back and I want my team to be prepared. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I think that we can all learn from this is make the main thing the main thing. In everybody's life, you can get caught up in the bullshit. Oh, I got to respond to these tweets. Oh, yeah, I got to go get lunch. If you're not focusing on the most important thing, you're going to take a step back because you're taking time away from it. And I think that's what I took away from Sean McVay saying that, is in everybody's life, don't get caught up in all the bullshit. There's a reason that Mark Zuckerberg wears the same thing every day because he doesn't want to focus on that. He wants to focus on the main thing. Mm-hmm. And if you can keep yourself focused, whether you're a job, whether you're in school, whether you're young, like, this is a lesson I think we can all learn, whether it's with your family and not getting caught up in bullshit. And, oh, what happened a year ago? It doesn't matter. Where are you now? I just think that's a lesson that we can all take and kind of go, focus on the main shit, do what you do great, focus on what you do, and how do you make that better? And the things that you aren't that great at, how can you minimize that? Mm-hmm. And then do that. Stop focusing on what other people are doing. Because that will get you caught up in a whole lot of bullshit.
It's terrible.
And I think he realized that.
Yeah, for disaster, you want to have tunnel vision. You don't want to be too worried about anybody else. You need to focus on yourself. You know, you got to be present in the moment and take care of your business.
1,000%. I was going to wrap up now. If there's anything else that you want to talk about or any questions, I will open the floor for a little bit. Because I don't want this to all be me asking you questions. You know what I mean?
Let's talk about music, man. Who are you listening to right now?
Anderson .Paak.
Okay.
That's my motherfucker.
You ever heard of a guy, Saba Pivot?
No.
Dude out of Chicago.
Okay.
Check him out. It's like a Chicago renaissance going on right now.
Really?
Yeah. You got to check that guy out.
Saba Pivot.
Also, Darren Falana.
Dropping Nigerian some knowledge
guy.
On me.
Nigerian guy.
I love Nigerian
Cold,
music.
Out of Toronto. I don't know how this dude isn't big right now, dude. Like,
how about that? Bro. So we have some musical recommendations right here. Anderson's my guy. Like, Anderson. I was so happy that he got to do an actual album for him. Dr. Dre produced the album before this one, and it sounded like a Dre album. And I was like,
I loved it.
It was great.
I loved it.
It was great. But this last one is so much more him. And that's the shit. Because he's a nut.
He has to express himself. He's an artist. Yeah,
I appreciate you coming in and doing this. Welcome to New York. We're going to hang out in New York. My fiance is literally calling me, not now. We'll get a drink. We'll get some dumplings.
Yeah, let's do it, man. Appreciate you, man. Let's hang out.
You're the man. Let's drop that beat again to walk him off. If you want to, I might drop a freestyle. I think I might actually start doing like left. I don't know if I'm going to do it right now. Hey. Hey, it's my birthday. Do it in the worst way. It's fucking Wednesday. No, it's not a Thursday. Hey. If you want to do this shank, man, we can go and just jump. My man's about to go downtown and get a dump. And if it hits him right, he's going to take a dump. And I don't really give a shit. We bust out of the slump. Hold on. Let me hit it a little bit more. And I'm going to say some shit and get your mind on the floor. Because when you come on the Left Go Show, it's never a bore. And if you come in, you don't know what's in store. So let me toss it over to Mr. KO. He's going to do this shit with the man, Adam Lefkoe. I need to stop and quit it. Motherfucker, hit it. You know you gonna do it, because I just did it. All right.
I gotta do it, because you just did it. We on the Adam Lefkoe show, so let's just get it. This off the dome, no. Straight up in your home, no. Hit that note like a fucking hollow tip. Hits the chrome, no. Oh, no. Almost fell off, but I remembered I'm KO, man. Hey. I'm sitting on the throne, on the top. They trying to fight me for the number one spot, but it's cool. I just do my thing. You already know I'm from the South Side, Maine, where them things bang. H-Town boy, you already know Atlanta players in the pants. Man, let me walk with a fucking limp. Let me put a dip in my fucking lip. You know I do this shit all day. I don't even play except the Alizé. Now I'm feeling good, man.
Kelechi Osemele. Hit him up on social. What's your Twitter?
K-O-7-0, spelled out.
And what's your Instagram?
Same.
Hit him up. Let him know he's the fucking man. You guys are the shit. Homies, 33%. I respect you. I love you. Live your life the best you can, and don't worry about none of the haters, because none of that shit matters.
Focus on you, man.
Focus on you. Just make the main thing the main thing. Holla at you guys.